when you come against people with heart disease. You got to say, heart, I command you to be made whole and healed. Every chamber is made whole and healed right now in the name of Jesus. And get out right now, every foul demon of sickness and disease of that heart. You get out now in the name of Jesus, and it's got to leave. This is how we command demons and devils to get out and don't come back in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says, "Should it ain't coming back a second time in the name of Jesus."
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3. Last week we did verses 1 and 2. And of course, we want to pick up at verse 3. Actually, for those of you while you're turning, I'll start at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all manner of mysteries and all understandings and have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the hungry, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profit me nothing. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Verse three is where I want to focus and hear what Paul is saying, not only to the church at Corinth, but to the believers alike. We've been dealing with love in this month of February, and we're trying to help the believer to understand the position of love that must be a part of every believer's existence. Paul has just made clear here, though he were gifted in all of these areas, though he had the ability to do major and marvelous things, though he himself had been anointed with a powerful understanding of spiritual matter, that even if he sacrificed all of his worldly goods to help feed the hungry, the poor, and then made the ultimate sacrifice of giving his body to be burned as a martyr for the name of Christ, for the kingdom of God. Even if he did all of that and did not have charity or love, then it says he profits nothing. Now, I think that's so powerful that it just goes over many of our heads, because what we're missing in what he's saying in these first three verses, verse 4 through verses 8, he starts dealing with what love is and breaking it down and what it's not. But before he gets there, he establishes the fact that he's not just talking about love in the abstract. He's not talking about love as the letter of the law, but love as the spirit of the law. So he's making clear here, though he abides by the letter of the law, meaning that he does what the law says to do, going through the actions and through the motions and going through the details and all of those things in the flesh, in his movement, but if his heart isn't in it, if he's serving but his heart is not in his service, if he's giving but his heart is not in his giving, if he's living supposedly as a believer but his heart is not there, he does not profit anything. And the believer must understand, it don't make sense to live in hell, go through hell, die and go to hell from the church house. That's the long way around to hell. You might as well just go on and enjoy yourself and not try to pretend and perform, because it's going to be worse on those who are pretending and performing. Plus, you miss out on the fun you could have had in the flesh, trying to act like you all of that. See, when you start acting like you are more than what you are, when you are more than where you are, and you have more than what you have, it's a pretense. And I got news for you. When you're filled with the love of God, you ain't got to pretend and perform. Better is a little that a righteous man has than the riches of the wicked. You learn to be satisfied and grateful to God with the little bit that you have, knowing that as you honor God and obey God, listen, he maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. You ain't got to be jealous of nobody, hating on nobody, being envious of nobody. If it's something you want, the same God that blessed him or her with it can bless you with it too. All of us were not called to be the same thing, have the same purpose, same function, same identity. God made each of us individually to be what he desires us to be. But here is the thing. With all of us, no matter who we are, high or low or anywhere in between, all of us who belong to him ought to be filled with his love, because he is love. We ought to be able to sense the desire of God through us because of his word, because of his will, because of his way, because of his spirit that resides on the inside of us. Listen, but too many of us have somehow caused what God is looking for to be etched out of their lives. And we know how to play church on Sunday. But the truth of the matter is, God is watching us, and it's not just that church. And God wants us to be able to demonstrate who he is everywhere we are. Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are, so we tell them. We are Christians, born again believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, a called out body who's not ashamed to tell you what's on the inside of us. Why? Because what he's done for us, we could not do for ourselves. Now look at verse 3, and then I'm going to move on right quickly. Because verse 3 again says, and though I give, I bestow all my earthly goods to feed the hungry, to feed the poor. Listen, and though I give my body to be burned. Now, he moves from one sacrifice to the ultimate sacrifice. He gives all of his worldly goods. He bestows them. Nobody takes that away from him. He gives it. He renders it as an offering. He willingly lets it go for the purpose of feeding those who are less fortunate. And that's honorable. That's honorable. But here, beyond the action, Paul deals with the motive. You see, what we don't realize is man judges the outward appearance. Somebody see you do a good thing. Oh, that's a good man. Oh, that's a good woman. They do such and such. But the question is, why are they doing such and so? Would they do it if somebody were not paying attention? Would they do it if nobody would pat them on their back? Would they do it if nobody were able to give it back to them or give them accolades about it? What is their motive? And see, when you begin to recognize that your motive should be love. Love prompts you to do good. Love prompts you to help others. When Jesus gives the illustration about the Samaritan and the Jews, and the Samaritan being beat down, and Jesus talks about how all of these folk pass by on the other side, but the Samaritan stops and he helps this man and brings him to the inn and leaves money so that he could be taken care of, and on his return trip stop back in if he's made any other charges before he gets back to bless it. He said, now which one of these were neighbor to this man who fell on bad times? And they had to say, not his own kin, not his own people, but the person that was supposed to not be someone they cared for. But love made him reach beyond ethnic lines, racial lines, beyond all of the divides that said, wait a minute, this man is in help and might die without my help, so I'm going to put all this petty stuff aside and help him. Love makes you do things like that. And so Jesus makes clear to us, and Paul reiterates this because he's trying to help us understand, we've got to learn how to get beyond the letter of the law only and get into the spirit of the law. Love, love, not just because it says love, but love because it is a part of who you are. And so when he does deal with this point as it relates to him giving up everything he has, and he deals with that motive, he says, or if I give my body to be burned. Notice again, nobody is forcing him. He's willingly sacrificing his body to be burned as a martyr,
Perhaps he may be stepping in for someone else. Perhaps he may be showing them a greater cause for the cause of Christ, that Christ might be lifted up in his witnessing, whatever the case may be. But he gives his body to be burned is the ultimate sacrifice, because when he's through doing that, there is nothing left for him to do.
And when they look at this, Paul says, and with all that he has done, listen, and have not love, it profited him nothing. Profited him nothing. So my brothers and sisters, if you are going through the motions, I'm just trying to tell you, save your time. I don't care whose name is on the church roll. If the real church is not in your heart, save your time. I don't care what boards or what ministries you serve in. If you're just going through the motions and you're just doing what you can do because somebody asked you to do it, and you just again walking through those things, but it is not because it is a call upon your heart and your life, and you do it because you love God and you love the brethren. Listen, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. And so my brothers and sisters, when you recognize that, when you love them because Christ loved you with an everlasting love, you freely receive, so you freely give. I thought this message might be quiet today, but I'm going to preach it even the longer, because we're going to preach the hate and the hell out of some folk here today. Listen, because here is what you need to know. You, listen, many times stand in the way of other folk blessings when you go through the motion just playing. Somebody's on their way out of here and they need some help and they need some support and they need somebody who's real. The reason why Jesus got rid of the fig tree when it advertised that it had figs on the tree was because folk were traveling and they were hungry, and it was the last result, and they lost time on the road, getting off the road, going, look at the tree, only to find out it wasn't a fig worth eating on the tree. And when you keep on with all that false advertising, because that's all it is, God gets upset about that foolishness, because some people turn away and never come back again. But he says, it profited me. So my question is, why do you do it? What's in it for you? Because if you're doing it for man's praise, I'm going to tell you another thing. You might as well save that, because man is so fickle, he'll praise you with one tongue and turn around with the other one and curse you out. He'll holler, Hosanna, Hosanna on the one hand, and then turn around and say, crucify him on the other. And so it really profits you nothing, meaning nothing in the eternal realm of God. You might fool some folk down here, but guess what? You ain't fooling everybody. And you're not fooling God at all. At all. So you need to tell him, give me a clean heart, a sincere heart, that I might teach transgressors your ways. You need to be real with God so that everything that you do winds up being a blessing and a profit to you, not only here, but in the hereafter. And then if you had time to go through the rest of the verses, which we do not have time today to do,
I admonish you to go through them and see all that Paul is talking about. And then he gets to that 13th verse and he says, now abideth. And now abideth. Faith, hope, charity. These three. And now abideth. Let's pause right there. And now abideth. Now abideth as opposed to what? Opposed to everything else that he just got through talking about. Because see, when it's all said and done, all the rest of that he just got through telling you will be done away with. All of that will be done away with. And so if it's done away with, then where is your profit in that? So he says, and now abideth. That means it continues on. It ever lives. What lives? Faith, hope, and love. These three. One school of thought says, these are the three contenders. These are the three that have everlasting connections with him. These are the three that made it across the finish line. It is these that he speaks of and lifts up as an abiding reality. And listen at this, because if it is abiding reality, then that is something worth holding on to. Holding on to my faith, and I won't let go. Listen at this. Faith is believing in. It's believing in. Hope is the cheerleader of faith. It is the support system for faith. Hope is the one that says, faith, hold on. You can do it if you try. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory. Hope just cheers faith on. In hope. Hope is hoping in something. But love is of God. Let me help you.